You're listening to the Bombad Generals.
General? Oh.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bombad Generals. I'm Matt. I'm here with Seth. And Seth, do you know where your children are right now?
I know where my children are.
There we go. Okay. This is an important check-in given last week's episode.
Yes.
So we just want to make sure everything's good, everything's okay. I did not
roach household.
Yeah, I did. Okay, when you say the roach household,
yeah, that's our
that just roach. I mean, yeah, I knew that. Like conceptually, that's one of the things you know to be true. But when just hearing it said aloud, the roach household, it's like I wouldn't go around saying that, man. If I were you,
I own it.
Yeah, yeah. Just you, your wife, your two little roaches, just running around.
It's a bug's life over here, you know?
Keep having kids and your house will be filled with roaches before you know it. Yeah.
True.
Just whenever you have a big old family reunion. Yeah. So, if anyone was wondering if I'm also mean to Seth off air, like, the entire before recording was me trying to roast him for the director hat, and he wouldn't take any of it.
It didn't work.
Yeah, he's too good at this, so. And I'm sure anything I say about your last name, I'm sure, sixth graders have said many times before, so I'm not treading any new ground here.
Actually, in sixth grade, my nickname was Cheeto.
Okay.
Because of my red hair. It was more red than red.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
But, so what I did was every Monday I would bring Cheetos to people. Like, hey, here's a bag of Cheetos.
Nice. Dang, this guy owns it. And I like it.
They want to get me. They want to get me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then they hold no power over you.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is why when everyone else was beating me with Blizzard Force, I then took Blizzard Force at LVO 2023. Then they didn't have any power over me.
No
you know?
Power.
Yeah. And I still got beat by Blizzard Force, so how'd that turn out for me? Yeah. It's a lot of trauma to unpack.
There's a lot of trauma from
2022. Any year.
Actually,
any year is
back
good for
and then,
trauma.
I actually would prefer Blizzard Force. I had a pretty good matchup against Blizzard Force, but
that's true.
You did Blizzard Force at the Worlds, though.
Man, you and many, many people. I was going to say one other follow-up from last week's show is I didn't listen to and practice a lot of Grievous voices. Mm-hmm. I'm a little sick, so I feel like the Grievous voice would make things worse. But I did just randomly happen to stumble on a video of like the voice actor doing the unaltered Grievous voice. And it's very different, I guess, than what I expected. Like, it doesn't sound like I would imagine it to sound. Like, obviously, it's like, yeah, this you listen to the voice and you're like, yeah, it's there's effects on it. But that's not how I back calculated it in my mind. So look it up. Like, it's he really like hams up this, I don't know, Eastern European, like maybe like Yugoslavic accent thing going on. I'm not sure even how to I watched it a few days ago, so it's a little hard to remember.
Well,
but
check
like,
it out.
Like, more than I remember coming through from Grievous. Like, obviously, yeah, his voice is hammed up a bit, but he's like leaning into it, so it's cool.
All right. I'm gonna have to
the wonders of modern technology. You don't do anything like that to my voice, do you, Seth? I don't listen back to these episodes.
Not
so
at all. Not at all.
Good. Just put the Gungan filter on the whole
Your voice
time.
Is already terrible enough. I don't need to adjust it. So.
That's true. Okay. Enough of... Unlike Seth, I can't take any bullying. So I think it's time to transition into the Legion side and make Seth talk so I can rest
Let's do that. Well, as we talk about bullying, we need to put up bear crate cades. So we're talking about
look at that transition. Even though we said we were going to talk about something else first, but that's okay. Barricades. No, that's fine. Let's start with fortified. Okay. We usually start with the condition.
Well,
we won't switch it up.
This is our second to last part of the series. We were talking about a battle deck, and we're going to talk about recover the supplies, hemmed in, and fortified positions.
Yes.
So we'll start off with fortified.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right, so let me just share the screen just so everyone can just get a look of what fortified positions. So it says, Starting with the blue player, players alternate placing barricades on the battlefield until 8 barricades have been placed. When a player places a barricade, it must be placed inside their deployment zone or within range 1 to 2 of their deployment zone. Each barricade must be placed horizontally. That's it.
Yeah, I've seen people get confused thinking horizontally sometimes means like square to the battlefield, like at 90 degree angles. It just means it's kind of like flat. You can't like, yeah. I think the intention is so that you don't take two barricades, put them on the big ends, like standing weirdly, put them together and create a makeshift line of sight blocker.
Although you would still have a little bit.
You might be able to like gap it or like put four in a row and like overlap them. I think that's what the idea is there.
You have to put them long ways and not tall ways, pretty much.
Yeah, you have to, if you put it down and you're like, that's how a barricade should lie on the ground. Yeah. That can maybe transition into our first point. You can, is it you who does this a lot, Seth, or maybe I'm thinking of someone else? Maybe it's Preston Zodiac who really likes to, like, when there's some crates in a row.
Oh, I like to,
especially on TTS is really good for this because there's some like standard crates that are used a lot. Yeah, you're the one. Okay. And then put a barricade on top of that and boom, line of sight blocker. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that all the time, but I mean, if you see it, take it, you know?
Yeah, especially depends if it's in a spot in the board where you're like, dang, it would be really good to have a line of sight blocker there.
Yeah.
You can.
This is true.
It protects like one mini, but that's enough.
It doesn't have to put it, you don't have to put it flat on the mat. You just have to put it somewhere laying flat. So you can put it on a piece of terrain. So what I do is just put it on like some barricade, not some already existing barricades, because you can't stack two barricades, but like on crates or something, like scatter terrain crates, and then just boom, line of sight blocker, because usually those two higher, like they equal or greater the height of a silhouette.
Yeah. So that's a really good use of it. Yes. And I guess we can just kind of maybe continue along with the tricks. What are some other tricks that you might do with the placement of the barricades before we get into why you would take it, why not, all that? Are there other tricks you use?
So you can use it some defensively, like slowing your opponent down to
get to that was the big one I was hinting at.
Because it's difficult terrain to walk over the barricade. So putting it, like I've seen, we'll talk about hemmed in, but like hemmed in on like recover. Like you put the barricade like right in front of the middle recover, the positions if you're blue player, and then you're the opponent, red player, has to get all the way around just to getting base contact with it, because it does obscure base contact with stuff.
This is completely unintentional, but yeah, the episode does happen to be hemmed in, recover, fortified, and I was thinking of the exact same scenario when I was kind of like pushing. So great minds.
It's kind of a gotcha moment. Like it's not a gotcha moment. But
it's not a gotcha moment. It's more of a gotcha moment when you like use the barricades to completely close in the. I don't remember if there was a forum ruling. I'd have to look, honestly, that said you can't. I don't think there's anything that says you can't do that.
I don't see why you couldn't.
Yeah, I think it was something that people were like asking for. Some, I don't know. Look in the forum. I don't know. It doesn't really come up all that much. But don't inadvertently do it to yourself as well. You know, where you're like, oh, I want this fire in line. I'm just going to put a bunch of barricades in the row. Leave enough space between the barricades so that you can put your movement tool down, have good angles, move around them without imposing speed. Yeah. One,
I found it's really good to also cover your flank. Like, for instance, speeders coming through, like using a barricade to like, okay, like at least give me heavy cover, you know.
I like the flank. I often, when I'm like facing, you know, back in the day, Blizzard Force, anything with flankers, speeders, maybe even if it's like a rapid reinforcement game or something, kind of put it in a T. So, hey, conventional fighting, I'll be on the top of that T shooting across, but if you try to flank me, I've got kind of guys on either side of the middle part of the T.
<It's a tea. laughs>
I don't know, this is the first time in my life I've had to dissect the terms for the different parts of the T.
Because what you're doing, because most of your games you're going to be at a diagonal, and if you're looking down at the table, normally it's your left flank that is going to be your weaker flank. Like that's where we're going to come from. Not many times are they going to come from the right.
Oh, I would say the opposite, because the left, you're tighter to the table. There's less space to flank there.
Okay. So if you're looking at the table,
let's say you're playing Long March, or not Long March, Major Offensive.
Yes.
Right. If you're in that panhandle and you're kind of you're pushing up towards the top left of the table,
mm-hmm.
you're closer. There's not much space. You're kind of squeezing close to the table on your left side with the army. So there's not really much space to get around there versus on the right side. There's a lot more space because you're kind of looking out to your left already. You're kind of skewed. So that leaves more space on your right.
Okay, I can see.
Apologies to all of our, even our visual listeners are probably not...
this is rough.
Yeah, following along that well. But either way, whichever way you feel exposed, you can feel a little less exposed with these barricades. So usually if you walk up to a table, you're not going to have barricades placed that way. Because in a lot of games, they're kind of useless. It's just very skinny in the line of fight, but if you're trying to avoid flanks in a specific matchup, it's great. So yeah, but if you are playing that kind of matchup, it's probably you who you're using your battle deck, because the opposition, if they're a flanker, they probably are not bringing fortified or shouldn't be bringing fortified.
See, so that's
I can transition.
Yeah, which like lists do you think are good and which are not good? Should and shouldn't bring fortified.
So I'd preface all of this, I think, with fortified. We've kind of talked around it, kind of touched on it through the series, with conditions especially, I think. But it kind of goes for the whole battle deck as far as like, oh, I like this. Fortified is the number one culprit because everyone is like, well, I like more cover. If my army, everyone's got troopers, everyone's got something in their army that can benefit from cover. So it's like, yeah, I like having more cover. But if the opponent likes cover more than you, then yeah, you don't want to bring fortified. So that's the thing. Speeder lists, you're trying to get those flanking angles. It's harder than ever now with the new terrain rules.
That too.
Yeah. So new, quote unquote, that have been out for over a year at this point.
And a half.
Going to be the second worlds we're going into with the rules, but it's harder than ever to get those flanking shots.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make it even harder on yourself. But like, obviously, dark troopers don't want that list. Don't want it. They can't benefit from the cover. Back when I played something like Luke DLTs, that's a list where you really want the cover, right? Because you are depending on a critical mass of cover to knock off some hits, knock off a crit with your situational nimble dodges, stuff like that. Something with Ewoks, they really want that low profile. Melee lists in general really like fortified, because if you're an Ewok melee skew, or if you're a Wookiee melee skew, well, I'm not shooting. If I just run up and stab you, the barricades aren't doing anything for you, and they're giving me cover on the approach.
Yep. Yeah, I would say like sniper spams kind of don't want that.
Yep.
Because I mean, especially like Civil War snipers, like heavy cover just screws you over because the odds of you getting crits are not great.
Yep, or double for crits. Sure.
So. Now, what do you think about like the snipers like that have like Iden sniper?
She doesn't care. She's not, you know, even Cassian, same deal. They're not breaking cover with hits. They're just pushing crits through and that's it. So no problems taking it. It just depends on the rest of the Iden list. You know, if it's Iden with Shores, Mortars, ISF, then maybe I'm probably taking it. But at the same time, it does... what was I going to say? She likes snipers often. Recently, maybe I wouldn't these days. Hard to say. I was running her with two Imperial snipers who don't like it. So it's a bit of a push and a pull. A bit of a gamble, and it can be a double-edged sword, right, too, because it can give you protection, it can make it harder for the enemy to get to you if they are some sort of really aggressive skew, like Black Suns. If Black Suns are coming at your face and they have to go around some barricades, that helps. But again, if it's Wookiees, barricades don't slow them down. They don't care.
Yeah. So would you agree with this? So like I would say I would bring it if you have a utilization for it other than just like, oh, I'm just going to throw this in my list for cover. Mm-hmm. So like, again, Wookiees, cover on the approach or mm-hmm. any melee stuff. For instance, myself, like when I actually like to bring it as a force user just in case. Yes. I have that like crate. Cause like yep. covering the force user approach as well. But if you don't really have a purpose for it outside of, you know, oh, I'm just a little extra cover goes, you know, then I probably wouldn't bring it.
Yeah.
The condition is like, not many people only focus on the objective and deployment, which again, those are two like make or break things that could happen. But the condition is like, you could be stuck with a condition that like could screw you over where like 4 to 5 positions. It's like, oh, like I could be okay with anyone could be okay with this.
Yeah. I played so much Fortified back in the day because yeah. a lot of people took it when they shouldn't, you know, and that applies to the battle deck, but also when you're banning cards, because it just ends up unbanned so much because people are just like, yeah, extra cover. I do think kind of counterintuitively, and this kind of goes back to my point about Luke, the DLT dodge spam, which in itself is not a thing anymore. But I think people used to have this idea, this thought of like, oh, cover's better for units with bad saves and like, you know, bad defense because, you know, they really need it to survive. And then CRB happens, cover's a lot easier to get, and hey, look, we've got huge defensive lists. You know, clone balls are doing really well. Now, there's other factors at play there, but the whole part of the thing with these really defensive lists is a saturation of defensive tech. And, you know, it's not just that they have some shared dodges or a force barrier. It's that they have cover, dodges, force barrier, medics, you know, you name it. They just have so much that it's impossible to punch through. So those lists, even though you might think, oh, they're already pretty, you know, they're so defensive. What are they going to benefit from cover? No, their opponent will. No, they really like cover. So that was the thing I keep in mind. But yeah, you want, as long as you have a reason to take it that is, you know, for you, I'm good with it. But if you just kind of toss it in there thinking, cover's never bad, sometimes it's bad. If you're shooting into guys that would otherwise not have cover, that's two hits that could have given you wounds. I think too, I ended up taking it, like it ended up getting played a lot back in the day because IRL tables can be pretty sketch. There's a lot of like empty tables where both players kind of look at it and are scared of like, oh, that's less terrain than I'm used to. But one of them might be wrong. That's the thing. If you're both going for fortified, probably one of you is wrong, but not necessarily.
Probably.
I do have a question though. Sorry. Because of your earlier comment, do you take fortified in your Yoda Chewy Barks list?
I do.
Just for the LOS potential?
LOS, and I think the fact that like, man, I don't want to bring anything else like besides that.
But those Barks really don't like shooting into heavy cover.
I actually haven't played a lot with it, even on my deck. So
interesting.
And the Barks are fast enough, honestly, they'll just like go and get base contact with it and be like, okay, I'm gonna shoot through this.
Yeah, the unfortunate state of bike play these days. Yeah, it's just, I'll get real close. You could do swoops. You could do swoops in Republic. That's allowed.
I know.
I think, I'm right? Not.
Yeah. I bring Barks because of their point and their trade value. Yeah. Like, that's why I bring Barks. Okay. We spent 20
minutes. That's a lot on Fortified. Let's go. I think it's one of the more interesting, conditions because of how it seems very simple on the face of it, but it's actually more nuanced, like to think, than you realize. Okay, and what was our next one? Recover? Okay. Or
yeah, let's go recover.
Just yeah, let's do it. Because I don't think recover is actually that interesting. It's not. It's a fine objective. It's a good objective. One of the OGs.
It is. What does it say? Well, no, it's not OGs. It is one of the OGs.
It is OG because Vaps was the one that came in the expansion.
Correct. Anyways, setup. Place one unclaimed objective token on the center of the battlefield. Then, starting with the blue player, players alternate placing four or more unclaimed tokens, objective tokens on the battlefield. Each token must be placed beyond range one of each deployment zone and beyond range one of any other objective token. All troop units gain claim and victory at the end of the game. Whoever has the most wins. Each one is victory points.
So often you're looking to win 3-2, but not necessarily. All trooper units are the only ones you can claim, but creatures and emplacements don't get the claim, as is detailed in the finer notes of the rule book. Mm-hmm. So it became a very different objective, I'd say, when force choke especially was changed, but also force push was changed, because a big reason before is force users liked it. Because they could, especially dark side force users. Let's say you've got a Maul, I don't know. Maul's great at, because he gets three actions. So move, choke. So move your unit leader towards him. Place your objective token, touching the unit leader, of course, but also touching Maul. Choke the unit leader. Claim that objective. Move away with your third action. Awesome. Everything I just said, you pretty much can't do anymore. Because they get to... choose the mini that dies. They get to choose where to place that objective token. So you're not doing that, unfortunately. Yeah. You have to go to them.
Yeah, there's some lists with like some turn one shenanigans stuff. Like Yoda Chewie has some of that. Maul with the A5 has some of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a pretty balanced, like, I wouldn't say it's broken. It's not like skewed to one list over another.
Mm hmm.
Obviously, if you like have more mobility, you like this more often. I can see a lot of like Mandalorians taking this.
I think you don't even need like a super mobile list. You just want like a fast unit to get in there, or you want to be pushing the middle already. If you've got a list that's already going to be really going for the center, then why not? Right? Like last year at Worlds, back when Dark Troopers were a thing, I was running Boba with double darks, and you know, he's a fast unit, great, but like, you know, nothing's super fast. Like straight line darks are fast, great, but it's just this idea of like, you're already pushing up the battlefield, so if they're coming to the recover because it's in the middle, great, I'll blow them up with my darks. Otherwise they can just keep going, and Boba or even, you know, one of the core can just go in and grab that middle box and run after it. Despite being really trooper heavy, I don't think like a super pure gun line necessarily wants this. Probably because not. It kind of wastes actions in the early game going and getting it. Now you can kind of wait, but that can be a little sketchy. I would generally kind of want, honestly, usually my officers are the ones I send to pick at least one of them up these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just like, whatever, here's a dodge and I'll go walk, and slowly over the course of three turns, you know, first turn, bolster, move, second turn, bolster, move, third turn, bolster, claim, and then get running.
It's an objective, like
I think you want ways to move units once they've claimed it, because it's a danger zone in the middle of the battlefield. That's another reason Boba's good, because he's got that one pip now where he can give out a move. Stuff like Yoda, Palp, very effective at it.
Yeah, either you have tech to like go and claim it, or you have tech to like defend it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen people like they won't even approach it till turn six, but like they're gonna get within range one of it and be like, if you come for this, like I'm gonna blow you up. So
yes, exactly, if you make it a very bad proposition for anyone to go near the middle of the board, it's this weird balance of like aggro but not so aggro that you don't have a couple units in the back to just like, hey, we'll grab these objectives and run. And it depends. Like if you don't have those naked objectives, you can still play it well, just don't put them way far away. I think a big part of our objective series, we've kind of been saying maybe for the safe quote unquote objectives, don't put them super far away, kind of put them with the rest of your army, keep your army together.
And I would say that depends. For this one as well.
Yeah, again, depends kind of. Yeah. If you've got a naked stormtrooper, naked pike, I don't know. Yeah, go grab it. But if you've got like a gun line with Boba, a Yoda gun line, you know, like a clone gun line these days, they don't really have a lot of useless units. Maybe a boil unit that's not doing anything other than soaking wounds.
Yeah.
Maybe your clone commander. In that case, though, just put them close to where your army is going to be anyways. And hey, maybe one of your Z6 clone phase ones in between fire supporting can slowly move up and grab the token.
Yeah. And I think the thing about recover, besides other claim objective, is like you can actually have more than one claimed token.
Yes.
Than the other ones. So it's like you can still use one unit just to claim those two. And the reason I like to keep them a little bit more together is because like if by like I make a big error or something and like I lose that unit, I'm like, okay, I have a unit that's like a speed one move away and claim.
Yes.
So I always have backup there.
That is the problem with the grab and run strategy, especially if you do it with, you know, kind of weaker units. And it depends on the range your opponent has, right? You don't want to grab it with your T-Series, run away so far from everything that if that T-Series pops, like a Cassian last first sit, or I don't know, Boba sneaks in and gets a range 4 rocket. Yeah. The range 4 rocket wouldn't be too bad because it's only 3 dice, but whatever, you know. Something like that. You don't want them to suddenly explode with a box that's way too far away.
Yeah.
But that also being said, if there's any objectives that I've seen one with like 3 models left on the board to compare and like a whole army on the other side, it's usually recover.
Yeah, I see a lot of rebels, but like rebels still like pull it off sometimes. They're yep. Like, oh, I just yep. have Sabine left, but Sabine has 3 crates, so it took
3 crates. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's a fun one. Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good objective, honestly. I think it makes you fight over the middle. It's got that going on, and there's kind of some different styles. I think there's just not necessarily tons of units that want to take it these days. It's kind of maybe a little more narrow than it used to be because of the force user changes. Again, I think it all comes down to, do you have a solid plan for getting that middle box and how you're going to get it?
Yep.
Seems obvious to say that when I say it out loud, but that's how I'd sum up.
Just recover. Have a plan for it. All right.
Just have a plan. Yeah, just plan for it, man.
Hemden.
Remember when you said keep your army together? Remember that. Remember that as we discuss Hemden.
So Hemden is probably the longest deployment to set up. Just like the markers.
Yeah.
Setting up the markers.
I think I had to like get more because I use like fancy acrylic 90 degree end markers. I think I had to like buy more of them just for when Hemden came out because you need so many for all the little. Yeah. No one cares, Matt. This is very first world problems, but I care.
Okay. So who brings it? I'm not going to even explain how it goes. If you just look at the screen
Hemmed in. Look it up. You've got one just, blue player starts very much in the middle, and then from the blue pair's perspective, top right and top left corners, there's a blob. Yeah. Critically to say, unlike Disarray, you as red player do not have to deploy units in both parts.
Correct.
You can, but you don't have to. You could put them all in one blob if you want.
Okay. So when do you bring this? When do you not?
You start pretty close. So if you want to start close, Hemden's pretty good. And you start very close to the middle.
Yep.
You start essentially range one away, right? Which is quite good. So that's if you've got a list that really is good at going and holding the middle, or wants to close quickly, Hemden's good. I think it's you start kind of you're definitely in range to move shoot range 3 from turn 1 on this map. I think the weakness of it, you don't necessarily worry as much about getting surrounded. It can, because, but often as red player, you don't want to have units on both sides. But more so, I find hemmed in to just be kind of hit and miss with the terrain because it's not a very big deployment zone, especially if you're trying to make use of it. Like, you don't really want to be deploying in the back of your hemmed in zone. And it just happens to be a point in the tables that can be very sparse in terrain sometimes. And so if I don't really have a tanky list, I'm like, ooh, the chance that I start kind of just in the middle of the table, in the middle of the table is great, but with not a lot of cover or LOS blocking and very close to my enemy, that could go downhill pretty quickly. If I, you know, if it's Wookiees, I don't care that I have white saves in that situation. I'm just there to get in your face as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Great for speeders. I think speeders love it because it's a flanking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, speeders love it. You can do like some shenanigans for turn one for like recover. You know, we've talked about that.
So many good things. You can like have your hostage in your deployment zone.
Yeah, hostage.
Very quickly. Though,
yes.
It can be kind of hard to. They don't have a lot of places to go, but it of enough space to kind of make that work. It can be tough. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to go for it. Go for it.
I was going to say, I think hemmed in is also very much dependent on your objective deck. It's one of the most closely tied deployments to objective decks, I would say. If you're playing hostage, recover, intercept, KP, things that care about the middle, that's a lot of them. You really want this one. Breakthrough is kind of an interesting one that can work out pretty decently for you because it's kind of easier to toilet bowl. If your list is set up for that kind of breakthrough. But something like Vaps, no, you don't want to play. I mean, it's fun. It'll be a fun Vaps game, but it's not. If you're someone who's really wanting to play Vaps, hemmed in Vaps is quite weird.
It's just because of where the stuff ends up.
I mean, honestly, Recover can be weird too on it.
Yeah,
because
Recover's weird. Bombing Run is weird. Bombing Run is not super weird, but like, as a blue player, I like Bombing Run because like, there's so much wideness that like I can drop a bomb, and then like it's pretty narrow for the red player to like come and drop a bomb, so I can defend my objective, like the deployment, easier for Bombing Run.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. I could get that.
Of course, it's a short distance, so it's like. But
yes, that's the thing. You kind of lose your speeder advantage in a bit if it's like, oh, you know, if you've got troopers, they only have to make whatever two, three moves and they can drop the bomb off. There's still troopers carrying bombs, so it's not that big of a deal. In that, I had one more thing that I was going to say. Oh, yeah. When I list that out, you might be like, oh, but intercept or KP, less with KP, intercept. But the red player could just take both side objectives while you take the middle objective. If the red player tries that, you just blow them up.
It's true.
It is how it happened. Like, you know, if you there are ways to deploy that you might leave yourself very vulnerable to it. But in Legion, usually if you split up your army and the other player doesn't, assuming that player knows what they're doing, you will just lose half of your army. So that's why it's strong even on something like intercept, is that they can't really do anything effective to try to take the non-middle ones, and you have a really big advantage on the middle one to start out.
Yep. That's all.
But
I
again,
to say about it.
Oh, well, I was just kind of going to elaborate. It's been so long. We might have kind of talked about it on our intercept episode, but I think a lot of intercept games are kind of like whoever goes to the middle turn one and two, or sorry, turns two and four, often like they stay there for those turns, take a lot of heat, and then the other player comes in turn six because you know they're fresher, they've got more bodies, and they're trying to win on kill points and then get in their turn six. And that's kind of how a lot of games play out. And then sometimes, you know, the other player can withstand and keep the other, you know, the defender, I'll say, from two and four, can keep the other person at bay at turn six, or the attacker is able to get enough kill points, get those double points on turn six and win the game. All that to say, it kind of goes back to I kind of want a tankier list generally if I'm taking hemmed in, with the kind of lists I play at least, because if I'm playing those objectives, because then I'm very much saying I am going to be the player who sits in the middle on turns 1, 2, 3, 4. So you want to be able to withstand that, for me,
for sure,
how I approach it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I like Hemdin.
It's good.
I don't play payload on Hemdin if you can avoid it. I have done it once and it worked out okay in the end, but it's you're walking a fine line there.
Deployment as red or blue player, or just
either. Oh, yes, that's a very important distinction to make. Yes. If you're a blue player, do that. I was red player. I was red player having to play that, and it's just because your opponent. Blue player starts with their bomb cart in the middle of the board, and whatever piece of terrain you pick, it's going to be relatively close. Versus red player has to pick one side or the other to put their bomb cart, and then blue player can just pick the farthest possible piece of terrain. So it's just a big asymmetry in terms of how far each player has to go to drop off their bomb.
Yep.
So you start at a big disadvantage.
Yeah.
And if that happens, do what I did and just try to murder them as fast as possible.
Just table them. Yeah, that's always
just table them, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, have a plan and just table them. Those are two main pieces of advice.
That's my anytime I face rebels, I'm like, oh, I'll just table you. Easy.
I mean, it's funny, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not wrong in that statement.
Oh, poor rebels. Poor rebels.
Poor rebels.
I think they were. I was looking at the game uplink for Worlds, and I think there was like a number of rebels in there already.
Is the game uplink for Worlds or for the Swiss?
I think it was Worlds. Let me look before I spell Swiss false. The Swiss is open, but no one had lists put in there.
Correct.
World or Adepticon, maybe? Adepticon. Du-du-du. No. World Championship. I found it the other day. I hope it was what I. Okay. Oh, here we go.
What's it called?
Adepticon Star Wars Legion World Championship 2024. How was that so hard to find? That's exactly what it should be named. Oh, they haven't accepted my request to join yet.
Yeah, I need to.
Yeah, there are more rebel lists uploaded than anything else.
Funny.
But there's not tons uploaded. There's not tons uploaded, so like, don't get too excited.
No, I don't get Republic really high.
We'll see. Put your list in, Seth. We all know it's going to be Republic, even those numbers up.
Yep.
Or we could do the opposite. Put in rebel lists, and then at the last minute swap them, so give it a misrepresentation.
Preps for it.
Yeah, but don't actually do that, because then you'll forget, and then you will have to play a Rebel list at Worlds and be very sad. Yes. But maybe we should stop before Rebels keep catching strays here. They can handle it if they've got plot armor, but if they don't, then not good. Okay, have a plan, table people, and stay gunking.
This has been the Bombad Generals.
Listening to Bombad Generals is not scientifically proven to make you a better Legion player. Side effects may include bad dice rolls, missed triggers, aim losses, bankruptcy, divorce, vomiting, and sudden death. Ask your doctor if Bombad Generals is right for you.